The Messenger of Allah, peace and blessings be upon him, encouraged us to strive for uprightness by seeking assistance in the early mornings, late afternoons, ar-rawha, and something of the depths of the night. From this tradition, the scholars made it a habit to briefly read texts of religious guidance in the late afternoon, and often term such readings the daily rawha. The term refers to the late afternoon, but also to a time of rest from worldly toils and reinvigoration of one's spirit. In this daily rawha, Sheikh Faraz Rabbani will be covering two texts: Imam Zarnuji's primer on the etiquette of seeking knowledge, Ta'lim al-Muta'allim Tariq al-Ta'allum, and Imam Yusuf al-Nabahani's beautiful collection of 40 sets of 40 prophetic hadith.
Dina wa Nabina Muhammad, Dhil Qadr al-Azim, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa tabi'in, wa tabi'ina lahum bi ihsanin wa hudan ila yawm al-din. Allahumma faqihna fi al-din, wa alimna al-ta'wil wa alhimna rushdana ya Rabbil Alameen. We're continuing to look at the second collection of 40 hadiths by Sheikh Yusuf al-Nabahani in his work on 40 sets of 40 hadiths of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this collection is on hadiths in praise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So hadith number 18. عن عبد الله بن مسعود رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إني لأعلم آخر أهل النار خروجا منها وآخر أهل الجنة دخولا الجنة. So the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, truly I know the last of the people of hell to leave it, and the last of the people of paradise to enter paradise. رَجُلٌ يَخْرُجُ مِنَ النَّارِ فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَهُ اِذْهَبْ فَادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. Said it'll be a man, it'll be a person who comes out from the fire. حَبْوًا, okay, حَبْوًا, on his, crawling on his knees. And Allah Most High will say to him, say to this person, go forth and enter paradise. فَيَأْتِيهَا فَيُخَيَّلُ إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهَا مَلْأَى. So when he comes to paradise, it'll come to his imagination. He'll come to imagine that it is full. فَيَرْجِعُ فَيَقُولُ يَا رَبْ وَجَدْتُهَا مَلْأَى. So he'll come back and say, O Lord, I found it full. فَيَقُولُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى لَهُ اِذْهَبْ فَادْخُلِ الْجَنَّةِ. So Allah Most High will say to him, go and enter paradise. فَإِنَّ لَكَ مِثْلَ الدُّنْيَا وَعَشْرَةَ أَمْثَالِهَا. Said, go and enter paradise, says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, For you have the like of this world, right? The like of this world, and 10 times the like of it. فَيَقُولُ أَتَسْخَرُ بِي وَأَنْتَ الْمَلِكُ. So the servant will say, are you making fun of me and you're the king? رَوَاهُ الْبُخَارِي وَمُسْلِمُ. Right, so the servant, right, the last of the people of hellfire to leave. Right, this is their reward. The Prophet ﷺ said, I know the last of the people of paradise, of the fire, to leave the fire. And the last of the people of paradise to enter paradise. Because, as the Prophet ﷺ said, that whoever has even an atom's weight worth of faith in their heart shall enter paradise. So those who died upon faith, right? Those who died upon faith, and yet their ill deeds predominated, right? They may be susceptible to punishment in the fire, and that punishment is intense to the extent of their wrongdoing, unless Allah wills to overlook And everyone will be granted exactly what is their due. وَمَا رَبُّكَ بِظَلَّامٍ لِلْعَبِيدِ And your Lord in no way wrongs his servants. So such a person will come out from the fire with all the punishments of the fire that we know about. That when one burns and the skin burns, the skin keeps getting renewed. Because after a little bit of burning, the skin loses its sensation. But the skin keeps getting renewed. So it can remain experiencing the pain of punishment. بما كنتم تعملون, right? Due to what you used to do, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us. So this person goes forth, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, go and enter paradise. But it'll look to him as if it's full. So he goes back and says, oh Lord, I found it full. Also, by that time, this servant has recognized that they got what they deserved. They got what they deserved. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is for the last person to enter paradise. And that you have the 10 times, you have the like of this world and 10 times thereof. So the servant, amazed at the generosity and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that is the last of the people of faith to enter paradise, who would have sinned and erred and done wrong. Says, are you mocking me when you are the king, O Allah? This hadith is related by both Bukhari and Muslim. In this hadith, of course, is a reminder, firstly, of the reality that a prophet is one who informs from the unseen. And the nature of prophetic knowledge is absolutely distinct to the knowledge that we have. Right? It is gifted knowledge, right, of ultimate realities, right, granted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but and we only know about the unseen through what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala discloses to us through the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is why this quality of believing in the unseen is a key quality of the people of faith. Right? In Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that it is guidance for the people of piety, هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, what is their first characteristic? الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ, those who believe in the unseen. Now you'd say, why doesn't it say, الَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ, those who believe in Allah. But belief itself rests on accepting the truth claim of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Al-mukhbiri anil ghayb, the one who comes to us with news from the unseen. Of course, it entails humility. And we see the vastness of divine mercy in this hadith, so much so that this person is amazed. Are you mocking me, O Lord? Hadith number 19. عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يد الله ملأ لا يغيضها نفقة سحاء الليل والنهار. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah's hand is full. It is not diminished by spending, generous by night and by day, ever giving by night and by day. أَرَأَيْتُمْ مَا أَنْفَقَ مُنْذُ خَلَقَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ. The Prophet ﷺ continued, have you not seen how much what he has expended since he created the heavens and the earth? فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يَغُضَّ مَا فِي يَدِهِ. Says, this has not diminished what's in his grasp. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ وَبِيَدِهِ الْمِيزَانِ. And his throne was upon water, meaning before creation of physical matters, physical things. And in his grasp are the scales. يَخْفِضُ وَيَرْفَعُ, which comes down and goes up. Right? It is weighted by the good deeds. And things fall off that scale. Or he abases and he raises. It could be going back to the scale, that the scale itself, things come down upon it and things rise up in it. Or Allah, or it can go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as the commentators mentioned. He, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يَخْفِضُ وَيَرْفَعُ. He brings some people down and raises some people up. This hadith is related by Bukhari and Muslim. Right? And of course, Yadullah, we do not affirm any similitude between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His creation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is exalted beyond any limb, because a limb is a part of a whole, and anything that's made up of parts is originated and dependent. And a limb itself takes space. And anything that takes space is created because space is created. So we affirm what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala affirms while negating what He negates, which is absolute similitude. It's not just general similitude, it is absolute similitude. لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is absolutely nothing like unto Him. Which is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say لَيْسَ مِثْلَهُ شَيْءٍ. Nothing is like Him. Right? There's the kaf. There's a negation, laysa. And then there's two modes of negating similitude. The kaf of similitude and the mithl of similitude. And there's six different mainstream interpretations of this, according as mentioned by Imam Sawi and others in their commentaries in Aqidah. But the main commentary is that it is for emphasis. And this is what Imam Taftazani mentioned as well. It's to take it from being a general statement to make it an absolute, unequivocal, decisive statement. That His hands are full, meaning that He has absolute control over all things. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ قَدِيرٍ. And from His having complete control over all things, His creating and His giving does not in any way diminish Him or what He has in any way whatsoever. And the example used by the Prophet ﷺ is للتقريب. It's to bring that closer. Just imagine all that He has created so far and all that has been expended in its creating. And that does not. وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And He has created much that you have no idea about. And this did not diminish Allah. وَكَانَ عَرْشُهُ عَلَى الْمَاءِ. And His throne was upon the water. Right? This is the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's dominion. The throne is the most encompassing physical creation, far greater than all the material and spiritual worlds combined. And His grasp are the scales. He judges over His creation because He chose to judge over them, not because He had to. And He chooses to abase and He chooses to raise. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us that consciousness. We'll look at one more hadith, which is hadith number 20. An ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Radiallahu ta'ala anhuma. أنه قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله تعالى يدني المؤمن فيضع عليه كنفه وستره فيقول أتعرف ذنب كذا وكذا؟ أتعرف ذنب كذا؟ فيقول نعم أي رب، حتى قرره بذنوبه ورأى في نفسه أنه قد هلك. So Allah subhanahu, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that Allah Most High will come close to the believer, dunu, right? And this is not the closeness of physical distance. It's a dunu'un laysa kamithlihi shay. It's a closeness absolutely distinct from anything. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will envelop and cover His servant. Not Himself physically, but with a covering from Him, with an enveloping and covering from Him. Okay, so it's the ascription here is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not of Allah's, right? And Allah will ask the servant directly, do you recognize such and such sin? Do you recognize such and such sin? And this believing servant will say, yes, O Lord, until Allah makes them admit to their sins. And this believer sees that they are ruined. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ سَتَرْتُهَا عَلَيْكَ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَأَنَا أَغْفِرُهَا لَكَ الْيَوْمِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I concealed it for you in this life, and I will forgive it for you on this day. فَيُعْطَى كِتَابَ حَسَنَاتِهِ. And then the servant will be granted their book of good deeds. So of course, this is a reminder as well of three things. The first is that one should frequently renew one's repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Because التَّائِبُ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ كَمَنْ لَا ذَنْبَ لَهُ. Because the one who repents from sin is like the one who never sinned. وَيَمْحُ السَّيِّئَاتِ. Allah wipes away ill deeds. And from that repentance is وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. Follow any bad with good so that it may wipe it out. Okay, that's the first reminder. The second is to hold the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in awe. Okay, to hold the meeting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in awe. Right? Particularly from what? The sins. The things that are odious to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, both outward and inward. The third is the importance of keeping one's sin, one's shortcomings private, of not talking about one's sins. Not because one is being hypocritical and say, well, just sin privately and be publicly good. But rather, they say, من استعظام الذنب عدم إظهاره. From considering grave one's sin, one's shortcoming, is not to disclose it. So let's say someone has a bad habit. They struggle with something. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has concealed it. So struggle with it. But don't talk about it publicly. Right? And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, كُلُّ أُمَّتِي مُعَافَى. My entire community is granted well-being. إِلَّا الْمُجَاهِرُونَ. Except those who disclose themselves. And who are those who disclose themselves? Those who go to sleep having sinned under the covering of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, under the satr of Allah. And they wake up and they rend that covering. And this has always been a problem, right? People think that there's nothing new under the sun. It's all the same thing. You know, this world is based on recycling, right? It's the same thing. I met one of the learned and wise people of this ummah, Sheikha Sahal. And she said, Sidi Faraz, it's all the same. You read the stories of the prophets, it's all the same. The righteous are the same. That if someone from the people of Musa came this time, they'd feel comfortable with the righteous of our times. They may have to change their dress a little bit, but they'd feel normal. And the oppressors and the evil people are the same. They want the same things, they do the same things. And in the middle, there's confused people. They've always been. Some go this way, some go that way, and some are in the middle. It's always the same. Before people had huge physical social networks. Everyone minded everyone else's business and they gossiped and talked because they're always around people. But now, it's very easy to disclose sins even when you're on your own because people talk about them, right? And this is something that one should be wary about, right? Even if one struggles with whatever one struggles, whether it's something sinful, blameworthy, inappropriate, religiously disliked, don't disclose it. Don't mention you went somewhere you shouldn't have gone. Don't disclose it. You're doing things you shouldn't have done. Don't post pictures about it. Regret it. Be committed to working on changing it. But don't disclose it. And one should be very wary because one of them, this is mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He concealed it and you feel regret and remorse, you'll have an easier reckoning for it. And then to complete, وَأَمَّا الْكُفَّارُ وَالْمُنَافِقُونَ فَيُنَادَ بِهِمْ عَلَى رُؤُوسِ الْخَلَائِقِ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى رَبِّهِمْ أَلَا لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الظَّالِمِينَ. As for those who rejected belief and the hypocrites, they will be called out before, in front of all creation. This is quoting the Quran, then the Prophet ﷺ quoted the Quran, هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ كَذَبُوا عَلَى رَبِّهِمْ. These are the ones who lied against their Lord. Indeed, God's curse be upon the wrongdoers. And this is related by both Bukhari and Muslim. So these are the hadiths. There are always there's a reminder of holding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in awe and recognizing with that the tremendousness of divine mercy. So that's what we wanted to look at today. We are also continuing to look at the work of Imam Zarnuji on Ta'lim al-Muta'allim, on the adab and way of seeking knowledge. And where did we stop in there? So in the chapter after intention, the author emphasized being careful on how to choose what one studies and whom one studies with, and the importance of consultation in one study. And he emphasized after that the urgency of patience, right? The urgency of patience. So he says, so Imam Zarnooji says, and Imam Zarnooji is the direct student of Imam Burhanuddin al-Marghinani, the author of the great work in Hanafi Fiqh, Al-Hidayah. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, قِلَ الشَّجَاعَةُ صَبْرُ سَاعَةٍ. It is said that bravery is a moment's patience. Bravery or courage is a moment's patience. And sa'a refers to a moment, or it can refer to an hour, but here it's a moment in time. So he says, فَيَنْبَغِي لِطَالِبِ الْعِلْمِ أَنْ يَثْبُتَ وَيَصْبِرَ عَلَى أُسْتَاذٍ وَعَلَى كِتَابٍ حَتَّى لَا يَتْرُكَهُ أَبْتَرٍ. That it is incumbent upon a seeker of knowledge to remain firm. يثبت. They say, مَنْ ثَبَتَ نَبَتْ. Right? Whoever remains firm bears fruit. وَيَصْبِرَ عَلَى أُسْتَاذٍ. And remain patient with a teacher. وَعَلَى كِتَابٍ. And with one book. Not to go from subject to subject. You start studying aqidah with someone and you never finish it and move to another thing and not finish it, and then start this course and don't finish it and begin this program of Arabic study and move on to another. Right? Such people, nothing comes of them. So that one doesn't leave it cut off. وَعَلَى فَنٍ حَتَّى لَا يَشْتَغِلَ بِفَنٍ آخَرٍ قَبْلَ أَنْ يُتْقِنَ الْأَوَّلِ. And to remain firm on a subject that they're focusing on, right? Based on the counsel of their teacher. And not busy themselves with other subjects until they master, حَتَّى يُتْقِنَ الْأَوَّلِ. Until they master the first. وَعَلَى بَلَدٍ. And to remain firm in one land. حتى لا ينتقل إلى بلد آخر من غير ضرورة. So that one does not travel to another land without necessity. Because part of gratitude is to recognize blessings. So if you have access to teachers where you are, begin with them. And gain what you can with them as best you can. And then you go elsewhere. فَإِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ كُلَّهُ يُفَرِّقُ الْأُمُورِ. Because all these matters otherwise would cause one's affair to become disparate, right? Cause one to lose focus. وَيَشْغَلُ الْقَلْبِ. And it busies the heart. وَيُضَيِّعُ الْأَوْقَاتِ. And it wastes time. وَيُؤْذِي الْمُعَلِّمِ. And it distresses the teacher because they made a commitment to you. وَيَنْبَغِي أَنْ يَصْبِرَ عَمَّا تُرِيدُهُ نَفْسُهُ وَهَوَاهُ. And it is incumbent to remain patient with respect to what their lower self and their caprice wants. قَالَ الشَّاعِرُ إِنَّ الْهَوَى لَهُوَ الْهَوَى هَوَانُ بِعَيْنِهِ وَصَرِيعُ كُلِّ هَوَى صَرِيعُ هَوَانِ. It says, truly caprice is abasement in itself. And the impulse of caprice impels one to abasement. That the impulse or the inclination to follow one's caprice, I feel like or I don't feel like, doesn't matter. Right? It's not about feelings. Right? As, you know, they say the adab of slavehood is like working in any service industry, because you're a servant of Allah. So there's two principles in the service industry. One is, your attitude is, don't ask me, I just work here. And the second is, you serve with a smile. وَيَصْبِرُ عَلَى الْمِحَنِ وَالْبَلِيَّاتِ. And one is patient with tribulations and with trials and tribulations. And a lot of it doesn't matter. The attitude, you know, when one of the great scholars of our times was captured by God knows whom as he was leaving his lesson in Baghdad a few years ago, Sheikh Qasim al-Ta'i. And they don't know if he's killed or he's imprisoned or what happened to him. You know, the day that the Americans invaded Baghdad, the second invasion of Iraq, at Fajr time, he was in his masjid teaching his lesson. Why? Because you do what you have to do. فَقَدْ قِيلْ خَزَائِنُ الْمِنَنْ عَلَى قَنَاطِرِ الْمِحَنْ. It is said that the treasure chests of divine gifts are on the bridges, are attained through the bridges. قَنَاطِر is a bridge. Right? The treasures of minan, which is plural of minna, of the treasures of divine graces are found, are attained through the bridges of trials. And then he says, وَأُنْشِدْتُ وَقِيلَ إِنَّهُ لِعَلِي بْنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. And then we'll read these, we'll read and explain these lines on Monday, bi-idhnillah. That it is said, and I said, I heard some lines of poetry, unshidtu. وَقِيلَ إِنَّهُ لِعَلِي بِنَ أَبِي طَالِبٍ. And it is said that these lines were from Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib. And he distances himself from that. Most of the poetry ascribed to Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib is not established through transmission. Sometimes it was wisdom, it was things that Sayyidina Ali said that someone turned into rhyme. But even there's a number of different versions of the Diwan of Sayyidina Ali ibn Abi Talib, but there's no real sound ascription to that. That he said, it is said that he said, أَلَا تَنَالُ الْعِلْمَ إِلَّا بِسِتَّةٍ أُنْبِيكَ عَنْ مَجْمُوعِهَا بِبَيَانِ ذَكَاءٌ وَحِرْصٌ وَاصْطِبَارٌ وَبُلْغَةٌ وَإِرْشَادُ أُسْتَاذٍ وَطُولُ زَمَانِ. So he says, truly, you will not attain knowledge. Now this is a negation. Six things are required. Don't do them, you won't gain knowledge. And this is tried, tested, and true. Truly, you will not attain knowledge except by six things. So I will inform you regarding all of them with clarity. Intelligence, avidness, steadfast patience, provision, the guidance of a teacher, and a long time. Right? And each of these requires a little bit of explanation. We'll look at that and how one chooses one's companions on the path of seeking knowledge. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabina Muhammad wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Thank you for listening to the Rawha, Daily Guidance for Seekers with Sheikh Faraz Rabbani. Help us continue to give light to millions around the world by becoming a monthly donor at seekershub.org/donate. Your donations are tax deductible in the U.S.